League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on grid radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But now, but here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. It was easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Let's go. By the way, K-Dub, do you know who that drop is from right there?
Cut the music.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Cut the
music. Whose drop is that? Now, this is a little bit before your time where it was in my heyday. And we used to love when this guy grabbed the microphone and said,
cut the music.
And then dropped promos.
Stop Steiner.
Stop him. Scott Steiner. There you go. One of those guys where he would cut promos. And you weren't sure if he meant it, if he was really trying to hurt somebody, or he was just an unbelievable kayfabe guy in the ring. Because he got to the point sometimes where he was scary on TV, which we loved.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of A, a little bit of B when it came to Scott Steiner. There is a video package, and I can't find it, unfortunately, though. Not like YouTube compilation. It was like a half hour, Donnie, of his best on-the-mic moments.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
I don't want to say J.J. So Dillon. I don't know who the guy was for WCW that was supposed to be running things and would, like, come out. He chased him around the set, like threatening to kill him and like breaking TVs. And Buff Bagwell was out there, was supposed to be like the guy that was in between. And he was like, can't even get between this. Like, I think he's actually going to hurt this old man right now. Like, that was the vibes he gave off.
Yeah, well, I do think that Scott had himself a bit of a reputation for taking liberties, is how I believe it was described, with some of the people in the ring. I mean, look, Scott was authentically huge, right? Like, that was a real thing. Legitimate wrestling background at Michigan. So, yeah, spot
on. By the way, the fact that, Kevin, there was reports, like, this is way back in the day. Like, when he came back over, like, WWE, like, towards the end of his career and just couldn't really wrestle anymore but told Vince he could. Those were the days. But also, like, they said he would bully Ric Flair behind the scenes and get everybody upset. Like, wrestling was out of control for about 15 to 20. Yeah. From, like, 1995-ish, where, like, ECW really started to come into prominence, right through the Attitude Era in the WWE. It was a wild time in wrestling.
Yeah, it was. It's cleaned up for the better, though, right? Like, there's a lot of, like, DRS from your time, right? And a touch before. A lot of sad endings for a lot of wrestlers, right?
Yes. Yes, there has been. Like, this is the new era of wrestling right now. Is this music right here mean that this guy is absolutely carrying a company on his shoulders? Do we feel that? Because I don't think the Elite are holding up right now. I think this guy right here from Long Island is holding up.
Yeah, I don't know why you're trying to bother me. I quite like MJF. I think he's a heck of a talent. But the Elite slander that checks in is ridiculous. That company always runs better when the Elite are a main focus point. That has been true throughout the entirety of it.
Now, do you think MJF, let's just say he came on the air with us, notorious, K-Dub, for kayfabe. Me and him going back and forth would be a joy, though. It really would be.
Well, you have a comfortable assumption that means.
Yeah.
Now, am I wrong here? You mean you and him going back and forth, just you
yes.
two, or you mean you two going back and forth making fun of me together?
Well, see, now that would be maybe one of the shows for the ages. But I feel like my sarcasm can reach a level where he would respect it. You see what I'm going with this? I'm doing a radio show, and this guy is just ridiculous on the other end, and I just got to battle him now. Like, I feel like that's where it would go to that level.
Listen, I don't know. You're comfortable in any setting that you
yes.
are in, but I
yes.
also think DRS, a lot of people have thought that they would go into an MJF interview. They'd be the one to not get themselves bullied by MJF, and then they get bullied by MJF.
That's tremendous. Like, the fact that this guy is kayfabe all the way through airports, signings. Hey, MJF, love you. Here's my kid. Wanted to meet you. Rips your kid. Throws you out of line. Signs your autograph. Then throws your pen and your autograph across the room. And it's like, man, that's awesome. It's tremendous stuff, by the way. So it is what it is at that point. But
commitment to the business.
Commitment to the business is what's up at that point here. All right, so we only got about a minute or so left in this segment. Let's set up hour number two, because we want to talk about a lot of Pac-12 action here and also how it pertains to the Big Ten. But also, Kevin, you want to talk about the next segment here? We got football back in our lives. Thursday night NFL. And I got to tell you, I am the ultimate hater. I love to say I love football is back. And the minute preseason is here, I get angry. I got to tell you, I'm not angry. I watched that game with, like, hey, I'm excited football's here. I like the interviews. I just like to see it on my TV. It's the first time in a long time. Maybe maybe turning the cheek here, Kevin.
I mean, is that because it's the most that you've ever been able to watch a game in the history of the Hall of Fame game?
I mean, it could be at this point. I mean, who knows?
You're just hitting buttons for no reason.
Yeah, there were circumstances there that kept me up. But I got to tell you, I mean, it was really good. You know me. I love football.
That's a sound point.
It really is, K-Dub. Thanks for the backup there. We'll be right back after these words.
Shut the heck up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rocking and rolling, hour number two right here on the grid. It's Moneyline down the right side and Kevin Walsh. And yes, football is back in our lives. Let's spend a minute, Kevin. Let's take it all in. Oh, can you smell the turf? Yes, I can. Canton, Ohio. Now, there's two ways this conversation is going to go. First, though, I do want to take a look at the game itself, the way it was played. Just good to see teams back out there. Then I'm going to get to my point and rip the Hall of Fame at the same time. So, let's get the football out of the way. You were right. Game went over. I was wrong. Yes. I thought it would stay under. Now, I don't know how long I want to stick on this game before I just start ripping on the Hall of Fame, but there were some good there were some good components to the game I enjoyed. I thought it was a pretty clean game outside of the penalties, and you know the interviews were good, kept me involved. I was actually actively watching and enjoying the game, so I do appreciate that. And the interesting thing about the NFL is once it gets started, it usually doesn't stop. Isn't it kind of interesting, though, they play this Hall of Fame game? But like, shouldn't the Hall of Fame maybe a kickoff on the Thursday night and then like the full preseason slate Saturday? It is interesting they take a full week off to me.
The reason for that, now I could be wrong. Did they play five games, the Hall of Fame game team, Donnie, back when it was a 4-week preseason?
Yes, correct. That's correct.
Yeah, no, that's bizarre then. No, you've got my full agreement then. Yeah, I don't know why they need to do it like this. Why does the Hall of Fame game need its own week like this?
Exactly. Like, can the Hall of Fame, like, they can't put the teams in or the players in next week in that game? Like, it's kind of just odd.
Is it to make sure that everybody can be there? Like, is there something with that?
That might be a point. There might be something on that side, because I did see the interview with, I believe it was, Durant? No,
yeah.
It was Rondé Barber. Rondé Barber got interviewed last night. Talked about Mike Tomlin, saying, hey, man, I can't wait. Mike's going to be here Saturday night with me, which that might be something valid, because Mike Tomlin's not going to be there on a Saturday night when they're getting ready for a preseason game or just finishing one. It's not going to happen. So
so that's probably the main reason then.
Now, also, you had anything else on the game? Like, what did you think about that Thursday night game?
I'm so excited. I really am. Like, I have no idea why you're going to rip the Hall of Fame. My thoughts on the game. Look, we made the Zach Wilson point plenty. I think he didn't show anywhere near enough. Three drives, one first down. That's nowhere near good enough. I also thought, you know, DTR, like, he looked much better than Kellen Mond. Full stop. And does it really matter who's the second string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? No, probably not. But if it does matter, DTR, game one, certainly, you know, won that battle there. And I don't think there's much of any debate on that. You know, really the other thing, though, that stood out from the game, the countless interviews they did, you know, Aaron Rodgers, they kept talking about how happy Aaron Rodgers is DRS.
Correct.
And I don't know if where I land on that. Like, I'm not saying I want to hear that Aaron Rodgers is miserable, but, like, I can't tell if Aaron Rodgers is on to almost a different phase of his career. And not that winning isn't important, and not that he's working hard, right? But everyone keeps saying, like, oh, pissed off Aaron Rodgers, you know, motivated Aaron Rodgers. Sure. I don't know, this seems like happy Aaron Rodgers, who thinks there's a really good group of guys there, but also basically all six of his friends in football are on the team, and he's going to just be ready to make it what it's going to be.
It's a good point you bring up there, as I know you wanted this theme music playing behind it as we talk about Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, because that's just what you have to bring in. Hard knocks.
Do you have a mandate you gave yourself on how many buttons you need to press today?
I do. I'm trying to level the playing board while it actually works, and we can get into it here. But when you talk, you're right about that. Like, everything at Aaron Rodgers, even the point was, he's saying, like, you know what, man? We're going to eat with different guys at the lunch table. It's really enjoyable. I'm saying, like, this is really interesting. Is he in oversell mode just to show Green Bay, like, boy, I just got out of jail. Because he was talking about the amazing men and women that work here and how much fun it is to be around. Is that a direct shot at Green Bay? Like, man, I was in Green Bay where, like, the tallest building is like a two-story house at this point, and now I get to go to the Garden, and I'm going to Taylor Swift concerts, and I'm all over the place, and I couldn't imagine anything better. And you know what's even great? Green Bay was paying me all that money. I came here and said, you don't even need to pay me anything. It's so much fun. Like, I had to get paid so much money just to be in Green Bay to make it worth my while at that point. So it is valid for you. He's not the angry Aaron Rodgers. Like, Kevin, he takes the mic and goes, you know what? I got to tell you, my own goal here is to absolutely, like, double down on what Green Bay thought of me. I want to be the MVP. I want to win a Super Bowl. I hope Green Bay misses the playoffs. Let's go.
Yeah, like, so, and obviously, like, that's, you know, turned up to 10, right? But Rodgers being like, look, man, we are going to have ourselves a heck of a season. The goal is a Super Bowl. It's why I play this. I think we've got the right guys to do it. You know, that team in Green Bay didn't want me anymore, and I'm gonna go out there and show what I can still bring to this league. It's like, ooh, okay, we have something. Instead, he's like, man, Jordan Love's gonna be so good. I actually was talking to Dorian Thompson Robinson for the game. I don't know why he didn't slide there. I'll coach him up on that later. Man, it's so fun hanging out with Zach Wilson. So, are you the quarterback's coach in this football team? What's going on here? Like, I'm not, like, it's all of a sudden, I was talking to someone, they were like, oh, like, maybe Rodgers is going to go into coaching post-career. It's like, I guess. Is he coaching already? Is Rodgers already coaching this team?
Exactly. Like, when Zach makes a mistake out there, he goes to Aaron Rodgers, not to Nathaniel Hackett or anybody else, right?
That's the pecking order. Yeah, and then you can rip everything you want. They also kept putting over the fact that Aaron Rodgers is essentially building the offense with Hackett, which it's just, like, this is why Sean Payton ripped Nate Hackett to shreds, because the quarterback is in there building the offense and not Nathaniel Hackett. Like, Sean Payton isn't sat down, Russell wasn't like, all right, Russ, like, build the offense. That's not how this works. Mahomes doesn't build the offense in Kansas City. It's ridiculous.
Like, what's the chance that, because I know that everybody likes to go back to Bill O'Brien, just, like, getting that, like, wanting to fight Tom Brady, like, fist fight him on the sideline. What's the chance that Nathaniel Hackett does that after Aaron Rodgers throws an interception or changes the play at the line that he called an interception? Nope. Fist bump on the sideline. Love what you saw out there, and congratulations on that. There's a lot of pressure on the Jets, but it does look like Aaron Rodgers is comfortable with that right now. But we'll see if it turns up. Now, let's get to the Hall of Fame here. And here's where I have an issue with a lot of Hall of Fames, particularly with the NFL and Major League Baseball. Because at the end of the day, when we always talk about, like, the Pac-12, right, and the Big Ten, it's a business at the end of the day. Sure, it's football, it's baseball, it's basketball, but the goal is to make money. And here's my beef with the Hall of Fame. So you have 9 inductees this weekend, and I'm going to go over them, Kevin, right? Let's start with the guys that should be there, right? DeMarcus Ware, absolutely. Zach Thomas, yep, you can make an argument. I think he does belong there. Joe Thomas, absolutely. Darrell Revis, one of the best cornerbacks to ever play the game. Rondé Barber, solid selection as well. But here's where my issue comes into it, because I have to remind myself that outside the Pro Football Hall of Fame is not owned technically by the NFL. It's a separate entity. So why do they keep expanding and building things? Because they want to make more money. If you said to me, Donnie, who deserves to be a Hall of Famer? I'd probably go, you know what? I don't know how many guys are in the Hall of Fame right now, but you could probably cut that down in half. You say, well, why would you say that here? Because I truly believe like the Hall of Fame is for guys that when you say their name, Kevin, you go absolutely no doubt about it. Hockey, I say Wayne Gretzky. I mean, what's the argument here? Football going forward, Joe Montana, you know, obviously Tom Brady's going to go in there. Like, no, like there's not even an argument. That's what a Hall of Famer is. So the reason I'm bringing this up is like Chuck Howley is going in, Kevin. Chuck Howley. Like, and usually, like, I don't care how old he is. Like, if I told you Jim Brown, like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, guy's an unbelievable running back, one of the best of all time. Absolutely here. Chuck Howley stopped playing football in 1973. He's going in 2023. It's like, you see what I mean? Like, he's 87 years old. And you say, well, okay, so what? You're eligible, Kevin, for the Hall of Fame after 5 years of retiring. So you're telling me for 50 whatever years he wasn't good enough and one day he is? Joe Klecko, love him. Great football player in the NFL. He waited 35 years to get in the Hall of Fame. Is that Hall of Fame? Is it like a line that you just wait in as long as you can for a roller coaster and eventually they give it to you? And really, yeah. Ken Riley, same thing. Like, there's superstars that deserve to be in there. But once I realized for myself is, if you don't put enough, like, let's go 5 years without putting a guy in the Hall of Fame. Nobody's going to go there. Like, oh, I saw it before. There's nothing new there. I'm not going. So once I finally wrapped my head around, but I still get upset with this. Like, I love Hall of Fame stuff and arguments. But if you waited 35 straight years of getting denied and then you get put in, I'm sorry. You're a good football player. You're just not a Hall of Famer. We're going to talk about the Pac-12 coming up next. Don't you go anywhere. Hour number two, Moneyline, right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There it is.
JJ in the Hall of Fame here, Jerry Jones. So, by the way, did you, on a Thursday night, K-Dub, were you impressed by DeMarcus Ware singing the national anthem?
Okay, no slander. I wasn't.
No, go ahead.
Here's my only question. It felt like it took forever.
It did.
True or false?
Forever. Yes.
Right?
Like,
it was
very
like.
Very true. Yes.
Very long, right?
He had the long pause, like, even on the last bars. Like, he was like, you know what? Let me hold this, like, Whitney Houston right now. And let me let this rip. Which, again, like, you know what's kind of interesting? Like, we do a lot of stuff live and just got to let, like, stuff rip. I've heard the national anthem 3 million times. I think I would forget the words, though, if I didn't have, like, a teleprompter for some reason, though. I really do.
Yeah, 100%. It's also one of those songs I feel like at times where maybe, like, in a crowd you can sing along no problem.
Yes.
But if I isolated, like, ooh, is that the word? Am I saying the right word?
Yes.
Is it ram parts? Is it red parts? Is it... Like, you know, there'd be some confusion abound.
No, it's a good point you bring up. I'm telling you, it's one of the songs where when everybody's letting it rip at a stadium, you do. But if you had to be the person leading it, I feel like, did I just sing that line? Like, I'm going back the wrong way again? Because a lot of times, I'll be in my car, and I let it rip on music I like. Mm. Open the close of the song. But sometimes the instrumental will come on. You're like, hold on now. I should start now? Should I start in a minute? Am I singing the right verse? Did I start, like, verse 2 instead of verse 1 right now? I get that way. And I feel like on the national anthem, I'm surprised more people don't get tripped up on the national anthem. Even though they've sung it a million times to get ready, it just feels like, for me, a song very easy to mess up.
There was something about his situation, though, where, and I don't know this to be a fact, or, but is there not something in his ear, like, that's got the words or something for him to follow along with?
No, usually the earpiece is in there, so you can either hear yourself. Like, when I talk on the radio right now, I like to have the feedback in my ear, so they can stay on pitch at that point, as opposed to just like, hey, man, he sounded terrible, so I couldn't get the key because I couldn't hear anything.
Right, okay, yeah. I mean, that is impressive then, because that does feel, like, it's funny, and I don't, man, I saw the DeMarcus Ware interview, but I don't know if they asked him, right? But DeMarcus Ware, who went into the Hall of Fame, he probably ripped this line down. He was, that was more nervous than I was before any football game I played.
I'm telling you, he probably did. Because when he started to sing, it's like, oh, man, this is like your big moment. Like, nobody's saving you. The crowd is completely quiet. You hope that you're singing on key like you've been practicing for, and the words are the same. When you get done that, because, and try to equate it to this, kid, you'll run through this in your life, right? Now, technically, I'm not the most sociable person. It'd be amazing that you think about it, right? But I'm very social in a social setting. Like, if I don't even know people, I'll talk to everybody and be loud and boisterous there. But, like, I always joke, like, my own birthday party, I slip out the back door because I don't want to say goodbye to, like, 35 different people I actually know. But if you're out there in front, like K-Dub, like, ripping that and singing it, that's tough, man. That's a lot of pressure in that environment.
So the dream then would be, when the Cavs were in the NBA Finals against the Warriors, the year that the Cavs won it, they basically had the singer come out, Donnie, and basically say, like, the first three words, and then just the whole crowd would do a sing-along together.
That's
like, the singer would stop singing.
Yes.
Like, it was just, it was basically the crowd was doing the whole national anthem, which was a cool way to do it.
That's the way to do it. By the way, best national anthem of all time, NFC Championship game, Anita Baker this year. What do you feel? What do you think about that?
Listen, maybe she'll do it again this year. Go Birds.
Oh, man, my goodness. It's come next week, Eagles, preseason. Preseason underway, ready to go. Three games, no more four games here. A lot of superstars don't play. A lot of arguments either way. Should you practice hard? Should you not practice hard? The Eagles, as we say, I don't even think they hit anybody until game one, which is a very interesting tactic. Mm. But it worked last year, so there's no real backfiring on it, per se. But I'm always interested to see. Oh, by the way, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you can. I think, right? Why not?
Yeah. Is it going to change? Is something going to change? Schefter here coming in, K-Dub. Yeah. Ready for an Adam Schefter update?
Yeah, which you all knew 2 days ago.
NFL suspending Saints running back Alvin Kamara 3 games for his role in a fight outside a Las Vegas nightclub. 3 games. Now, I'm assuming he gets to appeal that. Is that correct?
You know what? Probably not, right? Like this has been going on forever. Like, this feels like this should be a done
deal. And he met with the commissioner. He met with the commissioner.
Yeah.
I think there was one. Put it this way. I thought it was interesting that he actually, after all this time, went to meet and explain his side of the story. You know, usually it's like, look, I don't care about your side of the story. I watched the video. It's a bad look for the NFL. You're going to get suspended in what it is. It was one of those where I think it was like, hey, look, you know I'm suspending you. And Alvin Kamara's like, I know you are. I was really thinking about 6 games, but let's be real. Let's put this to bed. 3 games it is, and you don't appeal. Let me tell you something now. It's 3 games you appeal, I'll give you 6. How about that? Like, I'm not dropping it to 2. I'll give you 6.
Mm-hmm. Like, we'll reopen this and you come out with some new findings. And
I can't wait for that. Does that ever happen, by the way? Oh, you're going to appeal that? By the way, yeah, we reopened it up again. Yeah, now you're done for the year. Congratulations.
Man, imagine how Adam Silver would have handled the Kamara suspension. He would have released a statement saying, listen, we didn't want to disrupt the Hall of Fame game, so
exactly.
You know, we're going to hold off here a little bit on the announcement of Kamara. People are like, oh my goodness, like, is his career over? 3 games.
3-game suspension there. So there you go. Alvin Kamara. I don't think it really changes all that much. I love Alvin Kamara, and I think he's going to be big in that offense, but I don't think it's all that bad that he got 3 games and is sitting out there. But I know you were talking about their schedule, too.
Well, the early schedule is a little difficult, but Kamara also last year could not find the end zone. He just couldn't. And maybe that was a one-year blip, and he'll be right back and rolling Alvin Kamara style DRS, the way that we know and love. But, you know, when we talk about the Saints, right, you've got Derek Carr in there. But it is Derek Carr in a new place, right? So sometimes that's easy. And you go, man, I love Alvin Kamara. Yeah, but he is coming off of a down season. He's now out the first 3 games. Man, I love the talent. It's Michael Thomas. Yeah, well, I don't know if Michael Thomas will ever be that guy again. A lot of buts for me, Donnie, when I look at the New Orleans Saints here.
By the way, do you remember Kamara's all-time game? Wasn't that long ago? Was it 5 times
Christmas.
He scored?
Christmas
game, 5 times he scored. Could have broke the all-time record.
Yeah,
but did Sean Payton want to? Sean Payton want to get in the end zone? Yeah, who was it? Taysom Hill or
Bleepin' Hill? And then, I mean, like, they got a turnover, and, like, Kamara, like, still got, like, the record or tied. I think he tied the record.
I think he tied.
He's just in a,
yeah.
You know, and this is funny. Like, I actually think that I like Sean Payton. I think he's a good coach, but it's not even Sean Payton's fault, because last year they were still using Taysom Hill in the red zone. Like, that was one of the most, I thought, like, this. Honestly, I thought it was a disgrace. Totally. Like, one thing that I think you always do a great job driving points home on, Donnie, is kind of what a coach owes a player as it comes to, like, history or rewards.
Correct.
Right? Like, listen, they're going to let that guy do whatever he wants because the Heisman Trophy is right around the corner, right? Things like that. Like, hey, Alvin Kamara had an opportunity to break this record Christmas Day, primetime. The world is watching. He's like, man, I got to run a little trick play here. Up a million on the Minnesota Vikings to get Taysom Hill in the end zone. Embarrassing. Hated that.
And you're right. It, like, equate that to college football. Caleb Williams next year, front runner. It's a maybe it's perceived to be a tight race between him and two other guys. Mm-hmm. And they line up against, I don't know, final game of the season, whoever it might be. Let's just say, forget it, it's not Notre. Let's just say it's not Notre Dame, and we'll say it's Oregon State.
Sure.
They get up 28-0 in the first half, right? And he only has one touchdown pass. And Lincoln Riley says, yeah, that's good enough, man. It's good enough. You get to the bench here. We'll let the backups finish this one out. And at the end of the day, go like, hey, by the way, Caleb only threw 48 touchdown passes. So the guy got to 51. And you go, no, that would never happen. Like, Lincoln Riley, like, look, here's my goal in the game. I know we're going to blow this team out. I think you get 7. I think by the time everybody wakes up in the morning, they go, what actually happened in the Pac-12 last night? How did Caleb Williams throw for 741 yards and 8 touchdowns? That's what normal coaches would do for their guys.
Which is why, you know, to take a quick transition here before we hit this break, I do not know what we are going to ultimately decide to do for that USC Week 0 game, Donnie. I mean, the opportunity to... So USC is playing Week 0. The Heisman Trophy winner from last year plays Week 0. San Jose State, 30.5-point favorite, total 63.5. You know, this team is supposed to put up a, you know, what, almost 49 points in this football game. Caleb Williams is supposed to not play much of this football game based on what you think we would know. But, what are they doing props-wise? Like, is that going to be full blast Caleb Williams? I'm very interested to see how that shakes out.
Yes, and it's one of those where the first impression, sometimes almost equally as important as those last impressions. Because, like, if you get off to a slow start and then let it rip against, I don't know, Iowa State Week 7, it's like, oh, okay. But even if you play a bad football team and he runs that up the flagpole, I'm talking they win 56-6, and he had a bit in every single touchdown, whether he ran it or threw it. It feels like you have to do that for your quarterback in game number one. Like, maybe game number two, it doesn't matter as much, game number three. But the first time we see you, and I always date this back to Jadeveon Clowney, who had that crazy game against Michigan. You knew he was going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, but he had to wait another year. They put so much excitement into that game number one, where he was the standalone game, and they had cameras on him, because the legitimate thought was, if he doesn't get 6 sacks tonight, this is going to be a real disappointment. He was taking plays off. He was a little bit out of gas. Oh my God, I can't believe it. What? You can't believe a defensive lineman can't get 7 sacks every time he plays?
Which led to the worst take in the history of sports, which was that Jadeveon Clowney, who was the number one football player from his, like, 7th grade year all the way through high school, was going to get drafted in the NFL only because of the one play against Michigan.
Yes.
The only reason anyone drafted Jadeveon Clowney is because of that play. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Well, there you go. One play can make you the number one overall player in the draft. Good times here in hour number two. They will continue next. A lot of hot topics to get to. Let's get back to some college football talk. It's Donnie and Kevin here, hour number two on Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two in full effect here, right here on Moneyline. Christian, our producer behind the scenes, was bringing up some topics about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are coaches in the Hall of Fame. There are also all owners in the Hall of Fame. Now, here's a segment I wanted to bring up about Jerry Jones. He goes in 2017 as an owner here, and rightfully so. You know, bought the team in 1989, immense success, couple Super Bowls, but changed the landscape of the NFL business-wise. One of those guys where a lot of ownership groups lean on Jerry Jones because he has the insight of how to turn a debt into a massive profit here, leverage your franchise, build the biggest monstrosity on the planet, and be a massive success. He's done that, so certainly they would want to pick up the phone and call him. But you know what I always find interesting here? Jimmy Johnson is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach. He went in 2020. They asked Jerry Jones like a week ago. They do their preseason camps out in Oxnard, California. So they don't even, forget about going like a couple miles out of town. They go 1,000 miles out of town and head to California. And they asked Jerry Jones, they're going to be putting people again in the Ring of Honor. Jimmy Johnson is not in the Cowboys Ring of Honor, but is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame because of the work he did with the Dallas Cowboys. I love that petty feud between those two guys.
But like, it's one of the like the silliest things. So I don't know. I guess it feels very silly to me. I'm well aware there could be elements of it that I'm missing, Donnie. But is this feud not Jimmy couldn't stop winning Super Bowls, but Jerry was upset he didn't have more say in it, so eventually Jerry forced them out? I mean, is it more complicated than that?
That's that simple. It's basically where this is my team. I'm doing stuff behind the scenes. I think I'm putting in work, but all everybody keeps on saying is how good Jimmy Johnson is as a head coach. Jimmy Johnson leaves, builds that team, hands it over to Barry Switzer. No, it was Barry Switzer who won a championship with them right after Jimmy Johnson left. But the fact of the matter is, like, Jimmy Johnson was in his prime as a coach, understood the league and what draft picks actually meant, equating to talent and how to improve. He comes to a team that wins one game, and a few years later, they're the best team in football by a wide margin. And Jerry's like, this is my team. I want everybody to think I did this. And you get rid of one of the best coaches. And again, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but they asked Jerry Jones, like, hey, you ever going to put him in? And he's like, oh, we have a lot of topics to talk about in the Ring of, like, Dave Campo was supposed to go in the Hall of Fame over Jimmy, or the Ring of Honor for Dallas, as opposed to Jimmy Johnson. I'm really surprised, though, they haven't buried that hatchet. They're both older guys now. Why do we still have a feud? Like, Jerry Jones is 80. Get over it.
Yeah, so I actually would think, like, wouldn't Jimmy be the more bothered guy then? Because it's basically Jerry cut his dynasty short by being Jerry.
Pretty much. Like, yeah, that, like back then, like, Jerry Jones was willing to spend more money than most owners. They had no salary cap, and boy, they built the best offensive line, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, defense. But it was on the back of Jimmy Johnson going, like, let's trade our hero Herschel Walker and completely reset this team's future. And Jerry Jones like, hey, you know what? I know you made those trades, but this is my football team and you got to go. Because this wasn't like, hey, you get burned out after 15 or 20 years together. It was a short burst for those guys dominating football, and all of a sudden, they couldn't work together anymore.
Yeah, no, it happened very quickly, right? Relative to the success that they had. And that's Jerry, right? I mean, Jerry was in the news the other day. Man, hope the Eagles are ready for us. Hope the Giants are ready for us. Hope Washington's ready for us, man. I think we've really improved this season. It's like, all right, dude. Glad you're excited about Kellen Moore leaving.
Yep, way we go at that point. And by the way, big news here for the week. Oregon and Washington now set to join the Big Ten and change the landscape of football. Because if you think that's big, obviously we already know UCLA and USC are on the move. Arizona is looking to bail out to the Big 12. Who is going to be left standing? It's a shame of it all is, like, if you're Oregon State, you kind of got over on the conference over the years, right? Like, hey, look, we're not really a football powerhouse. We're not really a basketball powerhouse. We're sharing the money. Everything's great. And when the music stops and there's only a few chairs left, you're the teams that are left. Like Arizona State, Oregon State. Mm-hmm. So trying to hope like nobody leaves, but who's going to be the last man? When is it official is what I'm trying to say, that the Pac-12 was like, we can't do this? Or does the Pac-12 go, okay, well, we'll go out and pick out Sandy at San Jose? What? They can't do that.
So, listen, according to conversations that I had with Ben Stevens here, he said the Pac-12 is done. Like, the Oregon and the UW moves were the official end of the Pac-12. And everybody else now is going to have to figure it out. We have heard, and maybe by the time you're hearing this has happened, that Arizona State and Utah are taking a look at the Big 12. Utah should certainly get on the move. They've had too much recent success, Donnie, to be viewed kind of on that bottom rung. I think they're much closer to Oregon and UW. I don't know if you would agree with that, the Utah Utes, but I would certainly say that is the case there. And really, how many teams are left then in the Pac-12 without a home, right? Oregon State, Washington State, come to mind. Who else am I missing?
Arizona State.
Yeah, Arizona State, Oregon State, Washington State. No, but Arizona State, Donnie, apparently is taking a look at the Big 12. Apparently. We'll see if it'll be successful. But apparently they're taking a look at the Big 12.
That big swoop. Because also, it's not just like they're taking premier teams, which, again, Oregon, technically, like Eugene's not a huge market. Washington is Seattle. That's a big deal because the footprint is what the Big Ten is looking for, selling television rights here. That's why these teams are so important. It's not like, hey, Washington, well, what do they win? No, no, they have the whole Seattle market. It's like, why do you think Rutgers is in the Big Ten? Because they're great at basketball and football? Like, no. That's that, you know, tri-state area New York City market that you're trying to capitalize on. That's what they're doing. That's why they took the L.A. market. That's why they took it.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm all angry again. I got
Rutgers is your team up there, man. You were in Queens all these years telling me about that.
I have no problem with that slander because there is nothing more embarrassing than New York being New York and providing absolutely nothing to the collegiate sports landscape. I mean, absolutely nothing. Like, and people can say, oh, St. John's, and we'll see what Patino does. But largely, St. John's is not viewed as that type of powerhouse. And there isn't a college football team. Like, at least you can do the St. John's things when it comes to college basketball. We don't even have a college football team, Donnie.
Why is that, though? Boston has, like Boston College. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have teams that are Division I. Miami has, obviously, Miami. Like, the bigger towns and the bigger cities, they all have teams. Like, New York City, it's amazing, too. Like, let's just say NYU, Kevin. Whoever knows how much donations they can get. And they go, you know what? We're going to ask our donors right now who are on Wall Street. We want our own dome stadium in New York City. We're going to have an NIL bigger than anybody else's in the world. Why wouldn't a team in New York City, A, basketball, and B, football, take over the country?
Hollywood could fund a football program tomorrow. Their performance art schools and the film schools, Tisch and everything like that.
Correct.
Like, are you kidding me? Lady Gaga could build an offensive line tomorrow.
Yes.
If need be, okay? Timothée Chalamet could get them a quarterback.
Ooh.
If that's what it needs to come down to here. So
they have a scholarship offer. Hey, look, you're coming here on $1 million a year on the Timothée Chalamet scholarship NIL.
Tremendous.
Every single position they could have. You're right about that.
It is absolutely ridiculous that if you are from New York, right? Who's your college football team? Notre Dame, because my dad is Irish. Like, that's what you hear. And then kids go away to school, and that's how they'll find teams, right? But it's just way different. And it's very annoying because it should not be that way.
No, it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't at this point here. So it's just odd that a market that big with that much money just can't say, we're going to build our own stadium, do this, do that, and do whatever. But it's also the same state there that claims the Giants and the Jets. Neither one of those have a practice facility or play in the state of New York, which is pretty wild. But by the way, with that, answer me this.
Yeah.
The Jets were always out there at Citi Field. I'm not saying the Jets would play at Citi Field. There's room out there, Kevin, for a new stadium wherever they want it to be, and a New York team can actually be in New York. How would New York lose two NFL teams to New Jersey across the river? That baffles me endlessly, man. It really does. Because under that premise, Citi Field should be in New Jersey and the new Yankee Stadium. There's no room, man. There's no room. We got to move over to Jersey.
Look, I am sure there are certain elements of this that I'm missing, but if there is some notion of, man, you know how congested it would be? Man, if I don't come through this thing. First of all, okay, Donnie, you ever go to MetLife on an NFL Sunday? I'm sorry, is that an easy trip? Are there no cars on the road? I mean, it's one of the most ridiculous
easy
things I've ever
heard. Easy
in,
easy out. No shot.
Yes. I went there once. I got there at what time? Probably 2:30 or so, and one of the Jets and the Giants were playing to do a show out of the FanDuel Sportsbook, Donnie. So that's like the attachment to it all. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I parked in a fake parking spot. There were so many cars that people just were creating lanes that were not really lanes to park. Like, so don't tell me that it wouldn't be congested, like that it's all of a sudden clear roads in Jersey. And two, how would it be any different than what it already is? It's already a nightmare to get around places. It's just, it is absolutely insane, the notion that they could not put a football stadium in a Queens. And look, if you have to go to Staten Island because it's a little more open, then fine, so be it. Go to Staten Island, right? But like, or Long Island. Like, I can't deal with this.
It is. And also, if you're talking about like the New York fan base, or let's just say you are a Jets fan and you live out on Long Island, how long is that drive with traffic to get to MetLife with your season tickets, as opposed to just being out there already? Like, it wasn't as if, like, well, technically, Kevin, the Jets were New Jersey's team. They've always been there. They just rebranded as New York, but still play New Jersey. They played at Shea Stadium. That was their stadium. And how about this? Shea Stadium got torn down for what? City Field, another baseball. Yeah, but you put a football field out there? I mean, gridlock all over the place. Just can't get around.
Like, is that the reason, though? Like, what is the reason? Or what, just we don't have the... Because obviously a football stadium is bigger than a baseball stadium. It's New York! What are we talking about? Why am I talking about this? Like, this is Montana. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... gosh.
Like, imagine if they put an extra 5,000 seats in the Garden. Can't do that, man. That'll break Manhattan, or that'll break Midtown right now. There's no way they could put an extra deck on the Garden at that point. But it's always one of those things that makes me laugh. Like, you know, more money than anywhere is New York City, but they found a way. It's like, you know what? We can have baseball. We can have basketball. We can build a, you know what? We'll spend billions of dollars building a basketball stadium in the middle of Brooklyn for a team that was in New Jersey. But heaven forbid if the Giants, and by the way, would there be more pride? Is there more pride? Would there be more civic pride? Like, if the Giants moved to the Bronx with a big-ass stadium by themselves. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Oh, yeah, it would feel a little bit better. Like, I would feel a little bit better about the Giants. Like, hey, man, they're the Bronx, man. That's the Giants.
Well, you know, I mean, and that's sometimes, you know, people like to make the joke, right, of like, oh, Buffalo, New York's real team. And it's like, hey, this is embarrassing. You know, like... Now,
the governor has to say that, too, by the way.
Well, look, here's the deal with stuff like that, though. If you obviously know anything about anything, it'll take me 10 extra years to get to Buffalo than it will New Jersey. So, no, it's not, okay? That's not how we're going to apply this. But it is an odd thing. But it's also, it's funny, like, the slight it is to New Jersey, that it's like, well, we're certainly not going to be called the New Jersey Jets. Like, you know what I mean? Come on now. Like, we're New York. I mean, come on. Let's not be crazy.
It is, right? Like, and again, there's not, like, usually, because, again, you can swing those big deals here because it still is profitable in your state to have the practice facilities. That's why they fight. Like, the Philadelphia 76ers, it was a big deal when they moved their practice facility to Camden. And the same way, like, the Jets and the Giants practice in New Jersey. And it used to be the Jets still were out there at Hofstra. I'm like, yeah, you know what? We're going to Jersey because apparently there's no room for a practice facility for an NFL team in the state of New York here. My goodness. Never ends at that point here. Just food for thought. We got one more segment to go here. Having some fun, breaking it all down. Hour number two of Moneyline here. We'll continue with our football conversation and much, much more. Love to talk about it. Stani and Kevin right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk to the good people out there, K-Dub. One final segment in hour number two. Let's talk about what's on the horizon. Full slate of NFL preseason games. Before you know it, we'll be at the end of the month here. A lot of good things happening at the Sports Grid Network. Baseball, sensational all the way through. I'm now invested in tickets here with the Padres. Hopefully they can get to the playoffs, make me a little bit of cash. $33, K-Dub, I believe it is. Pays like $1,500 back if the Padres can win it all. But having said that, don't need them to win it all. Mm-hmm. If I can turn $33 into like $833, that's a win at that point, and that's what I'm looking for.
I certainly think that's a win. I'm pretty sure you turn those $33 into $100. It's considered a win.
$38. I might have to buy in again. Yeah, after a couple weeks, they might be at 150-1. Might have to keep on trading and somehow still profiting.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. You buying into the
Milwaukee
100 times. Oh my gosh, that was good. You know what the craziest part about that whole Milwaukee run is? I do genuinely believe that they win the NBA championship if they get passed.
If Jimmy Butler wasn't Jimmy Butler. Like, if Jimmy, if they got Jimmy Butler two rounds later, they probably bust them up.
You know what? I think you're that's all it took. if the Heat didn't lose to the Hawks in the 7-8 in the 7-8 game for some reason,
yes.
They would have ended up beating Miami in the conference championship game. You're probably right about that.
Yep. There you go. So away we go into August. And look, man, it was Aprils, Mays, Junes, Julys. But I do got it. Like, when Mike Tirico opened up the telecast on Thursday night and was like, hey, man, we're back. Like, it just felt good. Honest to God, man. Like, it really felt good.
It was a little like, wow, okay, this is real.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something about that professional broadcast, man, that you're like, all right, let's do this.
Like, I think the wife looked at that telecast like, you got to be kidding me. It's already back. That's right, baby. It's back. The NFL is back in our lives. So thanks for tuning in for hour number two. A lot of fun all the way around. Christian behind the wheels of steel. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. We will see you next week, or at least you'll see me. See ya.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.